We're back here at Indianapolis on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live, and now another guest. We've heard him before, previewing the draft last year, Kyle Krabs, Director of Scouting for NDT Scouting. Kyle, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
No question. Do you think you put that mic a little bit closer to your mouth for me? That is perfect. There we go. All right. This draft class, again, we've talked about it in a broad way so far. We're going to try to focus in on some of the details with you right now. We just had Dane on. We talked a lot about some of the positions. We didn't really talk much about him with the running back class, which I know a lot of people say is very deep. We've talked about the guys at the top, the Fournettes, the Cooks, Kamara from Tennessee, McCaffrey, Kareem Hunt even I know a lot of people love as a second-round pick. Maybe he had a big Senior Bowl. Who are some of the guys that you don't think are being mentioned enough that you think could be a pick in the third, fourth, maybe even the fifth round, like the Giants got Paul Perkins last year, that could step in and be a real help at the running back position this year for an NFL team?
I'm surprised there's not more buzz on Wayne Gallman from Clemson. I really like his game. He's very smooth with his cuts. If you want him, he's probably end of day two, so like a round three kind of guy. But I think his value is much greater than that. I would be willing to invest a pick in round two on somebody like that, just because he brings an Arian Foster style smoothness. He's not as physical, a little less prone to stick his nose into traffic and really just try and maximize his runs. But he's a name that there's not a lot of steam on, that I'm kind of curious as to why, because you watch the film and I really like that. And then you start getting into some of the specialists. If you look at pass catchers, you've got Elijah McGuire from Louisiana Lafayette and Dari Agambale from Wisconsin.
That's good job with that, by the way.
Yeah, I had to stop and think about it. Both of those guys are James White-style backs, and you saw in the Super Bowl how valuable a pass-catching running back can be. Those guys, if you're getting into the middle of day three, your round five, round six type of guys, those guys can bring you tremendous value for what they can do as far as moving the chains and being active on third down. And they have a lot of nice quickness and wiggle to them, so they can create yardage on their own. So it's really what flavor are you looking for, because there's something for everybody with this running back class.
And talking about the running backs, it seems as though, for the most part, the last few years, we've been talking about rotational guys, niche guys, guys who have certain skill sets. There are not a ton of Ezekiel Elliotts out there who can play like every down, you know, like Adrian Peterson that I've been doing for the Vikings for so many years. Is that more difficult for you guys when you're scouting players to say, look, if an NFL team wants a guy who's going to have 25 touches a game, can this guy project to do that? Or you just say, hey, you know what? He's a situational player, and that's what he's going to be, and there's nothing else there.
Yeah, that's like everybody, when you're evaluating running backs, you want to find that guy that you give the ball to 25, 30 times a game. Like that's your utopian situation, is you've got a guy that can play on third downs, he can pass block, he can catch the ball, he will always be on the field, he's the centerpiece of your offense as far as the running game is concerned. But that's not the way the league's really trended, and especially with this awareness of longevity and taking care of your bodies, and it's really trended towards you want guys that a guy has 200 carries, another guy has 120, 150 carries, and touches that way, and you're pass-catching specialist. So just being realistic with yourself when you're watching these guys and say, if there's a guy that you feel confident can have 250, 300 carries in a season, those are the guys that are typically going to trend up towards the top. But it's because they can do all of these other things. And then understanding, you know, and that's kind of the devaluation of the running back position in general, is you have your specialists. You have your first down and second down carriers. You have your short yardage backs and your pass catchers. And all of those guys are niche guys. And those are the guys that you really find your value with in the middle and end of the draft.
You talk about trends. And this is a great defensive end class. A lot of edge rushers that can get after the quarterback. Last year, it was a very slow defensive end class. Not a lot of edge guys. Are we going to see more and more edge guys coming out because college has become such a passing-oriented game where guys don't run the power run game anymore? So you need pass rushers. Are we going to see more and more pass rushers, you think, high on draft boards in the next few years as college continues to go more towards the spread?
Yeah, and I think the troubling trend, we're talking about trends here with that, is a lot of these pass rushers are very raw as far as what they do. They'll line up in wide angles, and they'll use their athletic explosiveness in first step.
Just try to beat the corner,
and they'll turn that corner, and a lot of these offensive tackles, you know, you hear a lot of offensive line coaches in the NFL now talking about, you know, these balls of clay that they have to try and mold because as far as their pass sets and their angles, and that's all off with this spread offense trend in college football. So there's a lot more projection there as far as you're getting a lot of raw athletes that you have to be comfortable with and understanding that there's a first-year projection, there's a three-year projection, and there's a second contract projection for these guys.
Sure.
And if you're able to project that and feel comfortable with what you're getting in year three and year five, then maybe there's guys that even if they're not the most complete package right now, you can still see it being worth an investment early on in the draft.
See, I know we're going big picture here, but I find this whole thing fascinating because, you know, when guys are picked in the first round, so many people think you just add water and they're ready to go.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, unless they're coming from a program where that guy's positional coach was really getting him prepped for the pros.
Like Alabama.
The guy's not ready.
Right.
You know, and to me, that's got to be the most difficult position for you to be in, because here you are trying to, you know, grade these guys, you're trying to project them into the NFL, but yet they're not getting prepped properly.
Right.
And then the NFL, they can't prep them either because they're not hitting.
Right. And we just heard a couple coaches in the press conferences here today talk about you have to understand what your coaches are looking for, identify those traits and dial in on those traits and try and mute out the rest. Because if you're looking at the verbatim and you're doing a little literal interpretation of what you're seeing with their on-the-field product in college, you're really going to have a hard time finding guys that you can get excited about, because there's so much that's not translatable with what they're being asked to do in college versus what they're being asked to do in the NFL. But that's what Rick Smith, the general manager of the Houston Texans, said. That's why we're here. That's our job.
Yeah, and it's not easy, certainly. And, you know, we've talked about the depth in this draft class. Wide receiver, not as deep as it's been in years past, but you do have guys later on that you can find some players that can help you. We've had a couple fans submit some names of players to ask guys like you what you think of them. One name I got was Josh Reynolds, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M. A bigger guy, 6'3". What's your take on him?
I love Josh. I watched his summer film from his junior season, and I thought he had Josh Doctson type abilities with his high point, contested catch ability, his ability to be a vertical receiver. I had a chance to talk to him at the Senior Bowl, and I asked him, what's one thing that about yourself that you think is being underrated? And he said, my speed. And it's really difficult with that passing offense that they had at Texas A&M with an inaccurate quarterback. And just the timing of the passing offense there was very off this year. So he didn't get a chance to showcase what he does best, and his ability to separate vertically didn't have a great chance to shine because he's not getting a lot of accurate looks down the field. But I really like him. I would be comfortable spending a day two draft selection on him, whether that's in the second round if you need it.
Wow.
Round three would probably be a great value for him, but I really like his game.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the tight ends and obviously the linemen, the trenches. The Giants need these kinds of positions a lot. I don't think we've really addressed linebacker with you to this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Shepard. We don't know what's going to happen with Robinson. I know you talked about a first rounder potentially before, John, but
yeah,
they're probably not going to go, since Carl Banks was the last linebacker they drafted in the first round. Yeah. They're probably not going there. Is there a guy in the second day or third day that may project as a potential at least two down starter?
In the middle?
Yeah. Jared Davis from Florida is a name that, you know, he's had some durability issues, but his athletic ability is tremendous. Very good open field athlete. Very effective covering the middle of the field and defending against tight ends and pass coverage. And you watch his Vanderbilt game this past season. It was a great showcase for him. He's going to get knocked because people are going to watch the Alabama game. And it was the highest profile game they had this year. And he came into that game very, very hurt and had a very hard time. He came off the field a couple times. He looked slow and stiff. And but if you watch him when he's healthy, his ability is excellent. And I think in this linebacker class, I know Dane just got done talking to you guys about Hassan Reddick.
Yes.
And Hassan Reddick and the Alabama guy, Reuben Foster.
Yep.
Those two are, in my opinion, they're first-round locks. And because linebacker has kind of become, unless you are that blue-chip prospect, another devalued position, I think
Like the running backs.
Jared Davis has the potential to be there in round two if you're looking for a middle linebacker.
Cool. No, I'm good.
I was going to give you a second.
No, I want to touch on the linebackers.
I want to stick with wide receiver here for a second. John Ross, I think, is an interesting guy this week. Some people project him into the bottom half of that first round to join both Corey Davis and, of course, Mike Williams out of Clemson. What do you think he needs to show here? What does he have to run? And what do the medicals have to show for teams to be comfortable taking him either late first round, early second?
Yeah, I would say I'll never say never because we just watched Will Fuller go in the first round last year. But
okay.
I'm not thrilled about that prospect of him being a John Ross being a first round draft selection. I think he's very similar with his strengths and weaknesses to what you see from someone like Tyler Lockett, who was a round three selection for the Seattle Seahawks. He's more twitched up. He's more explosive. We know he's going to run a blazing fast 40 time. I've heard some people say his testing in the prep has been consistently in the high 4.2s. So, flying. The expectation is he's going to fly. It's all about the medicals with him. You know, it's really scary with the durability. And, you know, there's some talk going on right now about Brandon Cooks potentially being moved from New Orleans. I would rather have Brandon Cooks than John Ross, because you know what you're getting, and there's less of those injury concerns there. But they're similarly styled players.
Yeah. I want to go offense here, too. I want to go quarterback, because I don't think this draft has, once you get past those top guys right away, the second, third, fourth round guy that could be the potential next franchise quarterback for the Giants. Now, if you disagree, that's great. I'd like to hear about it.
Sure.
At the same time, what do you think next year's draft class? I'm going to ask you to project a little bit. Is there a better crop there that maybe they go stopgap with a veteran behind Eli this year, and then think next year they get the guy of the future?
If they get an opportunity to draft somebody like Jerod Evans from Virginia Tech this year in the late rounds, I think that would be a worthwhile investment.
You're the second guy that's mentioned him to me this weekend, actually.
He's got a really intriguing skill set. Nice vertical passer. Is another guy that's difficult to project because his offense was all screen passes, back shoulder throws, and vertical throws.
Lovely.
I saw a lot of parallels to what I saw from Brett Hundley out of UCLA when Hundley came out. He's more raw than Hundley was, which is saying something, because Hundley ended up being, I believe, a fifth-round draft selection. But somebody like him, I could at least see the upside there, where if everything clicks, you can probably win with him, because his arm talent's pretty good.
Okay.
And then Nate Peterman from Pittsburgh is another name that
I've heard him too.
He's a low-ceiling starter, but he's a high-floor guy. I don't think he's necessarily somebody that you're going to want to sling the rock 40 times a game with, but very responsible with the football. His decision-making is very crisp. His accuracy in the short and intermediate areas of the field is very good. So different styles. Peterman's probably going to be a little more rich, as far as he's probably going to be a second-round pick, just because there's that's really barren in the middle rounds this year with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So if you want him, you're going to have to get him pretty early.
Two running backs that a couple fans sent in they want to know about that probably will be middle-round picks, Marlon Mack and Jamal Williams out of BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on those guys? Do you think they could be impact role players at the running back position once they get drafted, and where do you think they might go?
Well, I still think you guys are sitting on a gold mine with Paul Perkins. I think he's going
to be... You're about the third person to say that to me this week, too.
He was my third running back last year. I had him in my top 50 overall players. He's a really, really good runner.
I agree with you.
I'm hoping.
How many touches a game, though, do you want to give him? Do you want him to be part of a 1-2 punch, or do you really want to try to get him 22 a game?
I don't think you can feed him like that. Like, his stylistically, what he is best at is that making the first guy miss and then getting his yardage as compared to putting his head down and running through guys.
Agreed.
So probably 16 to 18 touches a game is a good number for him.
I agree.
Mac is similar. He's bigger than Perkins, but he's very much a make the first guy miss. He's very boom or bust. Likes to try and find the sideline, almost to a fault sometimes.
That can be dangerous.
Yeah. If it's bottled up, he is very reckless at the point of attack. If that initial gap is kind of sealed, he'll lose yardage sometimes. He's a home run style hitter, home run mentality.
Coaches hate minus plays.
Yes. Yes, they do. Don't put me in second and 12, please.
No. Not a good idea.
Jamal is, I was expecting him to be a lot bigger than what he was. He runs very physical, but he came in at the Senior Bowl at only, I believe, like 210, 215 pounds. So he runs like he's 230.
He's a downhill guy.
Yeah, he'd be a nice foil. He's got good balance, and his ability to take contact in the upper body and still sustain his forward push is pretty strong. There's some questions off the field there that he'll have to answer here this weekend, as far as he took a year off from the BYU program. And he's a rarity for BYU prospects, because he's a senior who took a year off, and he's still only 21 years old.
Right.
Most of these BYU kids are 24, 25
years old.
Yeah, they
go on two-year missions a lot of the time.
Yeah, so he's a really interesting case, and I think if you're looking for a third-down guy that has the ability to take contact and move the pile a little bit, he's an interesting choice.
Finally, anybody that you think this weekend's extremely important for in terms of either medical, interviews, combine performance on the field that you think people might wake up to and be, well, you know what, maybe I wasn't too high in this guy, but after this weekend, we really got to consider him?
Sure. I got two, because I'm going to be greedy here.
Guys, go ahead, please.
Carlos Henderson, the wide receiver from Louisiana Tech, is really explosive. The name that I compared him to in December when I really got into some of his film was Corey Coleman. Physically comparable athletes. They win in similar ways. They're both somewhat raw as route runners. I actually think Henderson's a little more polished as far as his receiving skills than what Coleman is, where Coleman's just an elite athlete. And then the other one is T.J. Watt from Wisconsin as a pass rusher. I really like his game. He's only a two-year defensive player. He came in as a three-star tight end recruit, and he has some of the most impressive handwork that I've seen out of any of the edge defenders in this year's class. And he's only been playing the defensive side of the ball for 2 years.
And he's more of a 3-4 edge guy, right?
Yeah, so he's a stand-up guy. But he's going to have to test well because some people think he's an average athlete. But if he comes in and he tests above average against historically edge defenders, what they've done over the past 10 years or so, he's really going to get some traction because the production's there. Obviously, the lineage is there. Everybody's going to make that comparison. And he's a really excitable. Yes.
Yeah.
he's a really excitable player for me, though. I really like his game.
But the point does go back into the circle where you're talking about a program that does teach the trenches well.
Yes. Yeah.
So that does carry some weight.
That's very impressive for a two-year player to have the amount of polish that he has with his ability to win at first contact. It's really impressive stuff.
Kyle, awesome stuff. We appreciate the time. But before
Thank
we say
so
goodbye,
much.
I'm supposed to get your prediction for the Giants at 23.
Oh, we're doing this again, huh?
Yeah, we are.
I believe I went on the record with Zeke last year. So 23. I'll say Hassan Reddick.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick.
Breaking the linebacker streak.
Okay. Write it down.
And, you know, we had somebody think Zach Cunningham in there for a linebacker, too. So that's another guy. So, excellent. Kyle, great stuff. And we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thank you very much.
Kyle Krabs, NDT Scouting. Make sure you check him out on Twitter. Thanks for joining us.